We shall overcome. We shall overcome. We shall overcome someday. Oh, deep in my heart, I do.
Hello, I'm Mark Steiner, and welcome. Before we talk a bit about that man and that man's voice, Pete Seeger, on this day in history, I remind you support for WEA is provided by Bosch, offering Bosch dishwashers at Bray and Scarf. And on this day in history, January 28th, we begin with Pete Seeger because he passed away last night at the age of 94. And we played that song because that song, which is the anthem of the civil rights movement in many ways in this country, was created in large part by Pete Seeger when he took that song many years back. When they heard it on the picket lines and taken from an old spiritual, I Shall Overcome, that workers used when they picketed textile mills in North Carolina, he created out of that We Shall Overcome and created a song that has become the anthem of the movement. And he was just an anthem of movement himself. He died at 94 on Monday and was one of our great heroes in this country. He wrote songs, like I said, We Shall Overcome, and he was the person who was a mentor to people like Bernice Johnson Reagan, of course, who's Sweet Honey and The Rock, and Woody Guthrie and Arlo Guthrie and so many others in this country that he stood behind. He was a man who stood and fought for social justice, for equal rights, for workers' rights, for the environment. He became a hit in this country very early. We'll hear his songs during the break. Songs like This Land Is Your Land that Woody Guthrie wrote that he made famous as well. He stood up for rights in the early years of the 1940s before he went to the Army. He became a member of the Communist Party and was later that kind of destroyed his career. But he went to World War II and came back, created a group called the Weavers that created songs that everybody still sang throughout that folk era today, like If I Had a Hammer, Whim Away, that he made famous in this country. And he was somebody who always stood up for the rights of human beings and the rights of people and the rights of freedom and democracy. He was in Mississippi with the civil rights workers. He stood for that and stood up for that and stood strong. He was, whenever there was a struggle, he was there. When he was blacklisted, because when they tried to get him to speak before the House Un-American Activities Committee, he said, I feel that in my whole life I've never done anything of any conspiratorial nature. I'm not going to answer any questions as to my association, my philosophical or religious beliefs, or my political beliefs, or how I voted in any election, or any of these private affairs. I think these are very improper questions for any American to be asked, especially under such compulsion as this. He was convicted, was going to be put in prison. They overturned it, but he still could not play anywhere but coffee houses for years. He played at coffee houses, union halls. He played at places whenever people were on strike in the civil rights movement, he was always there. Wherever All the Flowers Gone was another one of the songs he played, and he wrote, and we'll play that later. And he played at Barack Obama's inaugural. We'll hear that later in the program too. He was up there with Bruce Springsteen and others. Sweet Honey and The Rock. During the Vietnam War, he stood up against the war, wrote a book called Waist Deep in the Big Muddy, which we'll hear later, that became a hit during that period. And he sang that song on the Smothers Brothers Hour, but it was cut from the broadcast because they wouldn't allow it to be played as an anti-war song. He was truly one of our great Americans, vigorous to the end. Last year, his loving wife, Toshi, died in 2013, which is one of the reasons I think that right after their 70th anniversary, I think that's one of the reasons he might have passed away, because he loved her so much, and we loved him so much. One of the fighters for freedom in America who passed away, Pete Seeger, on last night. And on this day in history, January the 28th, in 1787, the Free Africa Society was organized in Philadelphia. The Free Africa Society was the first society created in the United States of America by African Americans as a self-aid society. It was created by the likes of Richard Allen and Absalom Jones, of course, two men who founded the first great black churches in America. These were Methodist preachers who rejected the second-class citizenship of free African-Americans in this country. They rejected slavery, fought against it. They stood up to the great doctor in that era, Ben Rush, who said that when the typhoid hit, epidemic hit Philadelphia, he said blacks were immune. They knew that wasn't true. They started schools. They started clinics. They created this mutual aid society, took care of the unemployed and the sick. They created schools for children who were all over America. And this is the day that organization was founded in 1787. On this day in 1896, a man named Walter Arnold in East Peckham, Kent, in England, becomes the first person in the entire world to be convicted of speeding. He was fined 1 shilling plus costs for going 8 miles per hour in a 2 mile per hour zone in his electric car. This is the day in 1908 that the activist Julia Ward Howe in 1908 wrote her famous composition, The Battle. Famous for her composition, The Battle Hymn of the Republic, became the first woman elected to the American Academy of Arts and Letters. This day in 1909, United States troops leave Cuba, except from Guantanamo. They kept Guantanamo. Of course, they kept Cuba until Fidel came in 1960, but they kept Guantanamo, and the United States holds it to this day. This is the day in 1917, the first municipally owned streetcars take to the streets of San Francisco. Now, we want to privatize that industry all across America, but this is where we began it as a public institution. This is the day in 1932, the first U.S. unemployment compensation law was enacted in Wisconsin. And in 1935, on this day, Iceland became the first Western country to legalize therapeutic abortion. On this day in 1938, Crystal Bird Fawcett was elected to the Pennsylvania House of Representatives, the first African-American woman elected to the House of Representatives in Pennsylvania. This was the day that in 1956, Heartbreak Hotel, Elvis Presley jumped up on television and started becoming famous for that song. This is a day in 1963 that Harvey Gantt enrolled in Clemson University, breaking segregation in South Carolina, the last state to integrate. He would later become mayor of Charlotte and a state senatorial candidate. On this day in 1970, Arthur Ashe, who was the first African-American to win at Wimbledon, was denied a visa to compete by South Africa to compete in the United States team in the South African Open Tennis Championships on this day in 1970. And on this day in 1989, after 62 years of the racial caricature Darkey, Colgate-Palmolive Company redesigned its package. That was only 26 years ago. They changed it from Darkey to Darley and replaced with a silhouette. Can you imagine? This took place up until 1989. On this day in 1994, Matthew Henson received a joint medal from Congress as a discoverer of the North Pole, finally being given credit for being a co-discoverer of the North Pole. On this day in 1997, at South Africa's Truth Commission, police confessed the 1977 murder and torture of Stephen Biko. On this day in 2008, Ted Kennedy endorsed Barack Obama. On this day in 1853, José Martí, the great Cuban journalist, poet, and theorist, was born in 1853, and Guantanamera was the poem that he wrote, and we'll hear that later by Pete Seeger, one of the songs he also made famous. He was one of the leaders and founders of the early Cuban Revolution. This is the day in 1939 that Yeats, one of the great Irish poet, Nobel Prize laureate, died in 1939. And on this day in 1960, the great Zora Neale Hurston passed away in Durham, North Carolina. Of course, one of our great writers and authors, and we're beginning to know more and more about her. On this day in 1986, this is the day that the shuttle Challenger exploded just after liftoff, killing 7 astronauts in a astronaut crew that kind of was America. Christy McAuliffe, the teacher who went up there, Michael Smith, Dick Scobee, Ronald McNair, African-American physicist, Ellison Onizuka, Gregory Jarvis, Judith Resnick, passed away as the Challenger exploded, a day that those of us remember who were alive then will remember. And on this day in 1996, Jerry Siegel, the man who gave us Superman, passed away. That was this day in history, January the 28th. We'll be right back to start our conversation.
Jose Marti was born in 1853. When he was 17 years old, he was active in the Cuban liberation movement, and he was exiled by the Spanish governor. He spent most of his life in exile, including 12 years in New York City. He wrote 70 books.